Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Number one, that team defense is where it starts first. Having a level of physicality, the tackling, the hitting, like that has to be part of our identity. So I anticipate that being certainly part of our style. That's true to the players of who we have. So it was good to see tackling the physicality that we saw, but we feel like we've got tons of things to improve on.
Dan Quinn there earlier this morning with The Morning Show. You can check out that interview if you have not heard it yet on 92.9thegame.com. Talking about the physicality that they played with against the Eagles. So physical, Randy, so physical that the Eagles canceled their practice today.
Ow.
And only had a walkthrough. Everybody's hanging out in the ice baths and in the cold tubs and the whirlpools, all that stuff. Extra treatment, taking whatever pain pills you can get your hands on. And only having walked through today for the Philadelphia Eagles because the Falcons brutalized them on Sunday night. They bruised them up.
Bow! That's what it was sounding like I did.
Just like that.
Physical. Physical, fast, and physical football.
You're playing again. I'm obviously playing games like that. You're playing games where Wednesday comes around, you're like, I really don't want to practice, man. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
Wednesday practice. But no. Yeah. See, we play, no, you remember in Miami's had that dirt. And we played Buffalo on a Sunday night game. Me and Tequila always talk about this. And, dude, we ran the ball 45 times that night. And our fullback.
A lot of blocking for Randy.
Yeah, our fullback got, he didn't get hurt. Tequila them punked him. Him and London Fletcher, they punked him. And so they were calling him Cotton Conrad. And so they were like, man, Cotton Conrad gonna get somebody killed out here. So they like, Randy, you go back to fullback.
So wait, they punked him and he didn't want to play anymore?
No, they took him out. And so, so they kind of had me lead blocking and dude.
That sucks.
Oh, it sucked.
Oh, man.
Sucked. Yeah.
So Wednesday came around and that wasn't really any fun for you.
Yeah.
Was it when? Because, I mean, was there one day more specifically than any other day that made it so you retired? Sunday.
One
day? No, you love Sundays.
I love Sundays.
You'd still do it if you could just do Sunday.
It's just a mother 4 days, man. And then it's also, you know, I have great self awareness. And I'll sit there and watch the tape and like, ugh, Randy. Yeah, it's about time to hang it up. It's time to hang it up, dude.
Saying that you have great self-awareness is an interestingly self-aware thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing about it. But most people will tell you. When you're watching film, you look at yourself. That was deep, Andy.
Was that Inception? What just happened there? I'm sorry.
When you're watching yourself on tape and you see that you look like some garbage, like, I'm gonna get somebody damn hurt.
Was that a haiku? What's going on here? The point is they played exactly how Dan Quinn wants them to play. And, you know, we have fun with some of the stuff Dan Quinn says here and there. He's got his slogans. He's got his catchphrases, all of that sort of thing. Do you think it makes Dan Quinn extra happy when the team does play, like, with one of his slogans?
So
he knows he can use it extra during the week? Physicality is what he wants to say every single time.
Tell the truth Monday was pretty fun.
It was fun because I got to actually tell the truth about something that was good.
I'm just telling you, dude. The way they were, I mean, when Gronk always talks about, like, you feel like you've been in a bunch of car crashes, that's how you really feel.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of car crashes, man. I'm talking about just brutal collisions like, I think Wendy asked me the other day, she's like, how long are they sore? I was like, dude, you're sore when you get on the plane and heart's still going back to Philly. That's the type of game that you hurt right after. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that thing was, yeah.
When's the last time you remember a Dan Quinn defense looking as physical
Never.
As they did? Well, I'll tell you when. In Seattle. That's the last time I saw a Dan Quinn defense hit like that.
And they hit too.
All season long. Yeah, oh, and the thing that I love about those defenses that I'm starting to really like about this defense and hopefully will someday love about this defense is the way that everybody does it.
Yeah.
You're going to have physical defensive ends. You're going to have physical defensive tackles. Grady Jarrett is going to be physical. Ideally, you've got somebody at that position on every football team that's got an ability to be physical. Otherwise, your defensive line is going to be bad.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have physical linebackers. What they had in Seattle and what I think I'm seeing from these guys right now, Isaiah Oliver included, you've got physical corners.
Shock and shed.
You've got physical – and look, I know that he avoided contact.
He didn't avoid – no, he didn't. He shocked and shed.
Yes, he did. But he made a huge tackle at the end of the game on Sunday, so he got better. He made that improvement. He's a physical guy. He's big. Desmond Trufant, for as much as people want to talk bad about him last season.
He's a big corner.
And he made a lot of tackles last season.
He made a great play. He made some good plays too, man. And you love the fact that a guy that didn't have an interception last week had two of them. And they were, some people want to say, well, it was just like a punt, man. Go somewhere. It wasn't a punt. It's an interception. That's what it says in stat sheet.
Yeah, and his incentives at the end of the year is going to get an extra $500,000 if he gets to enough interceptions or something. I don't know exactly what his incentive bonus is, but he got two of them on Sunday and zero of them in 2018, so that's a great start. But no, Dan Quinn's happy. He should be happy. I'm sure there's plenty that he isn't happy about yet. Yeah. Matt Ryan talked about how they go about dealing with that part of it.
There's no need to bring each other down in games. It's about uplifting each other and making sure we're all as confident as we can be. I think the corrections and the time for making sure we're accountable to each other is during the week in practice and in our meeting rooms. My style is more of being tougher with the guys during the week, and then when we get to Sunday, it's about playing together and trying to accomplish the goal of winning the game together.
That's Matt Ryan from the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. Talked about a bunch of different stuff, but I'm not going to yell at anybody during the game. No real point in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Try to stay positive, and then, when we get to the film room, then we start really dealing with the stuff that goes wrong.
Ain't no yelling going on. Ain't no yelling going on by no quarterback in practice. It's either we're going to do it again or repeat it, but you're not just going to – Matt's not going to – he's not talking about individually yelling at somebody and all that. But, the game is fun, man. I know I say it a lot. But it is true. You get paid for Monday through Saturday. Sunday's for free. That's fun. That's the fun part about it. But throughout that week, the preparation, you're going to, as the quarterback and most lead dog quarterbacks like Matt is, well, if something is right, it doesn't go right in practice, it's repeat. Repeat it. All right? There's no reason to, because you got all the time in the world, there's no reason if something doesn't work that you just go past it. No, that play didn't work. Let's go back. Let's run it again. If you got a good head coach, he'll say run it again. If you got a good offensive coordinator, he'll say no. Let's run it again. You want it perfect, and Matt has the cachet to be like, hey, Dirk, can we get it again? Hey, guys, Julio, go line up again. We're going to run this one more time. He has that cachet.
I got sort of a two-parter for you here about improvement and identifying the mistakes you're making and getting better at them. What did you like that the Falcons cleaned up the most from the Vikings game to the Eagles game? And then what do you need to see them clean up the most from the Eagles game to the Colts game this Sunday?
I thought they were really sound in the front seven of their defense as far as gap control. I thought they were very good as far. Yeah, I thought that was
because they were terrible.
They were terrible against the Vikings. I thought that was the biggest improvement that I saw as far as defensively. And then I'm gonna go to the offensive line. I saw a unit that worked well together. Now, giving up one sack, but Matt still kind of had people on his feet sometimes. But overall, I thought they played a really good football game. I know we've already talked about that clip over and over again. It was a great way to move people off the ball, but you got to have your assignments down, young right tackle. Because if you get that right, because I thought they had enough movement on Fletcher Cox that he could have got to that backer. If they do that, Devontae's hitting his head on the goalpost. There's nobody else there. But because you were over-aggressive and you got your head and you got all four hands on a guy, you couldn't make that play.
I'm interested to see what that looks like this weekend. I'm interested to see what Devontae Freeman looks like this weekend. I know we asked Dave Archer about Free, and he said he thinks that people may be overreacting a little bit to what Freeman looks like at the beginning of the season. He's still working his way into sort of ramping up into what you want him to look like mid-season. Okay,
let's do it.
Great. I buy that because especially what we saw on that little tunnel screen.
He looked good. He
looked like, again, a, you like saw, a fast Devontae Freeman.
You saw the burst right there. Again, that's why I said I don't think I was criticizing. I just don't look like himself.
No, that's just an observation.
It just don't look like himself. Now, if he get more amped up.
I think that's a fair observation.
Yeah, it just don't look, what I'm saying? Because I know the juice. I know the juice that Free brings. And he's not bringing it yet. Again, that does have a lot to do with the guys in front of him. I get all that. But, yeah, he's got to get it going, man. He does. And I'm talking about quick, fast, and hurry.
Yeah, the offense needs him to be a threat, and he has not really been a threat at this point. And hopefully this weekend against the Colts is when he starts to do that.
And the pitch is hammered high in the air, deep to left field. Echeverria off the bench has hit a homer. It is 5-3.
Yep, that was Echeverria there with the bat flip of the century. This is a guy who's got, I believe, let me make sure that this is correct, 7 home runs this season, 2 of them as an Atlanta Brave.
He bat flip all of them?
Now, I don't know what he was doing with his bat flip up there in New York. I have to assume it was probably still pretty good. He's got 2 home runs as a Brave. He's got the two best bat flips of the season.
Yes.
Like, Ronald Acuna does a nice job from time to time. Anybody, I mean, Josh Donaldson will give you a little flip here and there. Who else bat flips on this team?
Nobody.
Nobody, really.
Bunch of squares.
All right.
Yeah, bunch of squares. Ain't nobody bat flipping. You got to bring a guy from the outside to come in.
Well, maybe that's part of the reason why Echeverria was brought in.
But, I mean, it's just so smooth how he does it.
That is so not how I would describe this Braves team.
Oh, no, no. I'm just joking
around. Like, Freddie Freeman's kind of a square. No, but you need a square, though.
He's not a square.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Why is Freddie a square? Because Freddie like to chill. Freddie do everything.
His belt's all high up here. He's got the 50s haircut. That's okay. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, Freddie ain't
you know
what?
Matt Ryan's
cool.
A square.
No, they ain't, man.
Yes, he is.
Why? Why is he a square?
Because of the way he acts. It's okay.
What, he acts professional?
And that's fine. That's sometimes, like, a good buttoned-up professionalism in another world could be called square. It's okay. It's not a criticism. I like my leaders to be like that. But then you got some other wild cards thrown in there, too. Not everybody can be Josh Donaldson, okay?
No.
If you had a team full of Josh Donaldson, they'd be fighting each other in the dugout.
Yeah, it'd be some issues.
You need Freddie Freeman like that.
No, man, that's just Fred. That's the way Freddie rolls.
He almost maybe should be called Fred.
Because we were talking about this thing. It's funny because we got my man here, King Philip, talking about, you know, he got a cousin named Fred. And you asked him, well, what did they call him as a baby? He said, Fred.
Well, he said Fred?
Yeah, he said Fred.
He was a baby Fred.
His dad's name was Fred, too. So I
didn't know that.
Yeah, cool.
I heard somebody tweeted us and said a lot of people that grow up to be Fred were called Frederick when they were little.
And I knew some Fredericks.
You did?
I knew a Frederick, but I never called him Fred.
My mom dated a man named Frederick for a while. He was older. He was an author.
My mom dated a Fred.
Really?
Yeah, she dated a Fred.
Maybe it's the same guy.
Stupid as hell.
I don't know. That'd be a funny coincidence.
It's happened so much here that you expect it. I mean, these guys come off the mat, they get the big hits, they never quit, they always put themselves in a position to win, and you always expect them to win, and that's a pretty good trait to have.
Yeah, I agree. I was sitting there last night, Randy, I know you were too, all of us were sitting there watching the baseball game, and Braves were down 5-2 going into the eighth inning, and I said, well, I'm not turning it off. So there's a pretty decent chance they might make this interesting. And then Echeverria hits a home run and bat flips. And then you get to the ninth inning. And to lead off the ninth inning, you've got Adam Duvall hitting a home run. And all of a sudden, it's 5-4. And then Ronald Acuna gets on base. And he's on third base with one out. And Fred Franchise comes up, Freddie Freeman. And unfortunately, they can't get him in. But the point of it is, you expect them to win those games. Because they've won so many games like that this season. And here's to me why that's so important. They're going to be in situations in the playoffs when the playoffs come around where not everything goes perfectly, where you're not winning 7-1 in the eighth inning and you're down and you're going to have to rely on that ability that you've shown throughout the year. You said it earlier in the show, and you're absolutely right. They've led baseball seventh inning on in basically every offensive category. Like, that's going to matter when the playoffs come around. You're going to need to get into bullpens of the teams that you're playing against and have the ability to come back late in games and win. I know they didn't do it last night.
Right.
But they've given us that confidence
that they're going to be able to do
any night they could.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about last night, you're in a situation where you got, you know, Ronnie's on third. You got Freddie. I'm like, okay. That was a nice try, Phillies. I mean, and then it doesn't happen. You're not disappointed because, you know what, we'll get them next time. And we know that our magic number is 3. We know that we're closing in on the NL East title. I'm not stressed out about it. I think they'll get it done this week. Hopefully, you want them to see them get it done at home so the fans can enjoy it or whatever. But, I mean, you'll enjoy it anyways. I mean, you'll enjoy it on the road. They're on the road. If anything, just don't nobody get hurt.
Well, that's already happened.
You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody else get hurt.
Yeah, nobody else.
Yeah, nobody else get
I'm
hurt.
With you. That's like, guys are coming back, right? We're waiting for maybe Endrin Ciarte is going to come back by the end of the season. Your guy Cakes is back. Like, the injuries that had happened earlier, Dansby Swanson is back. Those guys had come back. That's what's so frustrating about Johan.
Some people, what they want to see the most in this season, you know, some people want to see Ender back.
If you had a choice of the things you want to see most. And, all right, that was on the poll question from this morning.
What do you want to see Ender back?
The morning show did a poll question, and one of the things, you could choose Ronald goes 40-40. Braves get to 100 wins. Anything else that you want, or Ender gets healthy. That's probably last. I would guess that you could go check it out. I mean, there's numbers on the poll if you want to go check and vote on the poll. I bet that has the least amount of votes.
I'm almost sure that has the least amount of votes.
It probably has the least amount of votes, okay? Now, Julio Teheran's pitching tonight. against Zach Eflin. You want to jinx him again? Because last time you jinxed him, it didn't work.
All I know is this. Then I think that Julio, I think that Bryce is going to knock one over the chop house, and Julio settle down and give you six. But my thing is, if he don't be at, because, hey, your boy, your jinx didn't work, bro.
Well, yeah, why would people not at you?
I'm not your damn bro, first of all.
Are you my bro?
Yeah. Oh,
no. Not really. Yeah. We don't really say that.
Yeah, but no. If he doesn't do it, then okay. I think he will. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds good.
But I thought the Randy Mac jinx was 100% guarantee.
Obviously not, because you saw what happened last week.
Maybe you just didn't do it right.
I did it the same way I always do it.
No, because the one time you did it wrong, and you said he was just going to be good,
yeah.
And then he was awful
right.
That night.
Right.
But so this time you said he's giving up a home run to Bryce Harper in the first.
Yes.
Over the chop house.
Over the damn chop house.
Big bomb from Bryce Harper. Yeah, he's going to hit it everywhere.
Yes.
But then he's going to settle down. He's going to go six.
Yes.
That's a good way to do it. Because you said something bad was going to happen. You reverse jinxed him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it doesn't work, then people have to let you know that you failed.
Hey, bro. Did you like, are y'all really that?
Never mind. You're an influencer, Randy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're a media member and an influencer.
I just speak my mind, bro.
Yes, you are.
Speak my mind, no filter.
Which is one of the many reasons why people love you. All right. Jason Longshore is going to join us next. Maybe he's met a baby named Fred. Jason Longshore is getting ready. Getting ready for the soccer game tonight between Atlanta United and Cincinnati FC. I'm going to ask him about babies named Fred, but I'm also going to ask him a lot of questions about Atlanta United as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we get to the AMA. Ask me anything, any question, any topic. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929. Now, normally, on Wednesdays, Jason Longshore hangs out for the AMA. Today can't happen because, he's not with us. He's on the road. He's in Cincinnati. He's getting ready for Atlanta United to take on Cincinnati FC tonight.
They call Cincinnati Queen City, right?
Is that right?
I think it's called the Queen City. Yeah.
Can you let us know that that's true or false, Jason? Is it the Queen City?
I think it's one of many Queen Cities.
Yeah.
Isn't Charlotte also?
Yeah, I know Charlotte is. Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, Queen City.
There we go. So we learned that.
Nice shoe store.
Jason, brought to you by Heineken 0.0, as always, great taste, zero alcohol. Jason, you'd have to think that Atlanta United's looking to have a bounce-back performance after the way things went over the weekend. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it wasn't good enough on the weekend. I mean, these things happen sometimes when you're coming back from a break and you just can't get back into that intensity level that you need. And Columbus came in with a perfect game plan. And the fear is what Columbus did and what Caleb Porter did from a tactical standpoint gives teams a blueprint. You know, if you sit back a little bit, you draw in some pressure, and then you hit with speed down the flanks, you can find success against Atlanta if they get out of their shape and if they're not patient in the buildup. Frank DeBoer stressed it. He stressed having that proper intensity and that proper patience in the build-up play to stay organized. It didn't happen against Columbus. It has to happen against Cincinnati because they can hurt you in the same ways.
Jay, in that sense, why don't more teams try to go through that? I mean, I'm not really worried about Cincinnati because they're pretty much god-awful. They're the worst team in the MLS. But just to your point, why don't more teams attack Atlanta United like that?
Generally, it's what lesser teams are going to do because top teams are going to want to play their game against anybody. And Columbus made the decision that, you know what, our game is going to be here to counter and to be on the counterattack instead of trying to control the game. We're going to take what they give us. And Atlanta gave them too much. Generally, Atlanta doesn't give teams too much. And when Atlanta's been at their best, they've controlled the possession, they've controlled the game, and you're seeing opponents with very few quality chances. Columbus had too many of those on Saturday.
We were talking in the break, and it had been, or Randy had seen, and I saw as well, that there were talks about practice not being as great leading up to the Columbus match. Maybe, I don't know if it's guys taking it lightly or whatever, but practice just not looking the way that things had normally looked. What did you make of that?
Yeah, when it all came out afterwards and Frank DeBoer had comments about the game, he mentioned a couple training sessions prior to the match that he wasn't pleased with. Julian Gressel mentioned it as well after the game. Mm-hmm. It's something where you have these international breaks and they can break up the momentum of a season. And for some teams, and everybody said, well, Columbus had the same break. They did. Columbus was playing on the back foot against Atlanta. They're not trying to control the game. They're waiting for a mistake, and they're taking advantage. When you're trying to control the game and you're not in that rhythm and you're not just back in the flow yet, it shows, and that's what it felt like in this one. What's kind of good is that you get another game quick. It's almost better, in my opinion, that you don't have a full week before the next one. Mm. You get a chance to come out a little angry, a little mad at yourself tonight against Cincinnati.
Last time I talked to you, Jay, you told me it wasn't nothing to worry about. I think you said that. Barco, third straight. I mean, is this precautionary or is he really hurting?
I don't know. It's sounding precautionary, but this is a lot of precaution.
Yeah,
and right.
if it's, you know, you want to have him for the postseason, you don't want to risk anything, okay. But, man, this is the second kind of longer-term injury for him. The one earlier this season, a little different. It was a kick. Like, you know, it's a contact injury. That's a different situation. This one, it reminds you a little bit of what happened at the end of training camp in 2018, where it was a quad injury that just kind of lingered for a while. The most important thing now, and with first place in the East being something you're going to need some help with, the most important thing is to be hitting on all cylinders going into the postseason. You don't want to sacrifice that at this point, but you'd like to hear some good news on Barco, and I don't know what the situation is at this point.
Do you feel like first place in the East is something that Atlanta United should be actively striving for? Or you mentioned that just trying to be hitting on all cylinders by the playoffs, maybe that involves taking a different tactic. How would you go about the remaining games in the regular season?
I don't think you have to take a different, you know, stance on it, and you can still go for both. I mean, you've got to play better than you did on Saturday, regardless if you get first place or not. You've got to be better than you were on Saturday, or you can be first place and you're not going to move very far in the postseason. You need to get back to the way this team was playing about a month ago. I still will hold up the week where they beat NYC, Club America, and then at Portland
right.
as the best this team has played in its history. Mm. It was that high quality. You need to get back to that quality. And the way this postseason is now, yes, the higher seed is very important because it's one and dones. It's one game. It's not two games, not aggregate score. It's one game. You want to have home field in that. But I feel like Atlanta has more talent overall than NYC and Philadelphia and can go into those places and get wins. But they've got to be hitting on all cylinders to be able to advance.
Hey, Jay, a little bit off topic. Wayne Rooney has some interesting quotes the other day talking about the MLS players and their pay. Did you get a chance to see that, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, I did. And it's a lot going into the upcoming CBA negotiations. And these are kind of complicated for the league and for the players because the league's in a very different place than last time. You know, the CBA was being negotiated, and the players are in a little bit better position to take a firmer stance. The league is making more money. Now, of course, every time, you know, you get to this point, you're going to have the commissioner come out and say, you know, well, there's very few teams making money. It's in a lot better place than it was. There's more money to work with. And I think for the growth of the league, they're going to have to figure this out. There's going to have to be more money invested on salaries. And I think other things too, you know, we've talked about charter flights. We've talked about lots of different things that the league can do to put on a better product. If MLS can do that in this run up to 2026, where there will be a World Cup in the US, Canada, and Mexico, I really think that Major League Soccer can be one of the biggest leagues in the world after that World Cup. But this CBA and the investment that goes into the league right now is really critical to getting to that point.
Jay, like in my sport, they have revenue sharing as far as like the teams, they split everything. Each owner gets a 200 and whatever million dollar check. Do they do that in the MLS?
No, it's a different setup because MLS is set up as a single entity.
Okay.
So it's not like separate franchises. It's all under one umbrella, more like a McDonald's type of thing is probably the better way to put it in that, you know, you're all part of the collective. So the business side is set up a little differently in that regard. I think what the biggest discussion is in part of the CBA, they're players and the league, obviously, but the bigger one that isn't being talked about very much is I think within the bigger teams in the league and the smaller teams, because you have clubs that want to invest and want to spend more and want to have more money to work with on the salaries and on bringing in players from overseas, but also rewarding players who are performing well in the league. And you have other owners who want to keep costs down, you know, want to grow a little bit slower. I think that's one of the bigger battles within the league right now.
What does Atlanta United need to do to make sure that they win tonight? I know, you know, we talk about Cincinnati and they're not a very good team, but sometimes those can mean trap games as well. What does Atlanta United have to do?
I think they have to be patient. I think the patience is the key. Like, the way Atlanta plays its best, it's not to score, you know, three goals in 20 minutes and play for that. Sometimes that's going to happen because you're patient and things are falling your way, but Atlanta needs to take what the game gives them. Be patient, keep the possession, create chances. Don't get stretched out of position, especially that link between the midfield and the back line. That was what kept getting broken against Columbus. That can't happen against Cincinnati because they have speed. They can hurt you by playing direct. You've got to be organized to deal with the transition play.
And we haven't seen any food pictures of you and Conte. What did y'all do today up there in Queen City?
Oh, man, it's actually a pretty good spot where we're at. So lunch was Frisch's Big Boy. Good stuff.
What did
good
you burgers. Have?
It's it's National Cheeseburger Day.
Of course.
It is.
I mean, that's just a given.
But you didn't. You're not going to eat any Skyline chili, are you?
No.
Good. That's garbage that food. That's garbage food. Good.
There's a White Castle right next to
Hey, Mike did tell us that, man. Bring your boy back a sack.
Okay.
Yeah, we can
do this.
Yeah, man.
All right, Jason, one final question. Have you ever met a baby named Fred?
A baby named Fred?
Yeah. Like, there's grown-ups named Fred, but are there babies named Fred?
Freddy.
Right.
Not Fred.
Exactly. Agreed. That's why we love Jason Longshore so much. Same thing. We've had the same experience. Have a great time tonight. We'll be listening.
Appreciate it,
Jay. Pre-game at 7, kickoff at 7:30 from Cincinnati. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, y'all.
Jason Longshore, not eating Skyline chili.
Is this game on TV tonight?
I don't know. Yeah. It's on the radio. I'm going to be listening here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 7, kickoff at 7:30. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Me too.
Supporting my colleagues and my friends.
Okay, good for you.
Jason brought to you by Heineken 0.0. Great taste. Zero alcohol, as always. Here's the deal, though, Randy.
I'm listening.
This is one of those ones that Atlanta United, as the season comes to an end,
need to win this damn
game.
Win the game.
Like, don't have the type of performance like you had against Columbus for whatever reason that happened, the break, whatever. I don't want to have to tomorrow talk about why or an excuse as to why things didn't go the way that they should go. Cincinnati's not good.
No.
Atlanta United is.
Right.
Go up there and beat them, get 3 points, and then go on about your business. It was interesting, and I agree with Jason, that week of play that Atlanta United had earlier in the year when they won the Campeones Cup, they went on the road and they beat Portland, who's a pretty good team, to go all the way across the country and beat Portland. Like, that's when they were playing at their absolute peak. And I know injuries have derailed that a little bit. The break has derailed that a little bit. A lot of the games they played in succession.
What the hell going on with Barco?
Get back to playing like that and win another championship.
That's all I need to know. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah. Just do that.
Speaking of Atlanta United supporters join 92.9 The Game today, starting at 7 at Mojitos, located at Peachtree Corners, for the Atlanta United versus FC Cincinnati watch party. That is 7 again. 7 tonight at Mojitos.
You know what's coming up next, Randy?
Tell me, Andy.
The AMA.
Oh, yeah.
Any question, any topic. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line.
404-741-0929.
Or on Twitter.
At TBM929.
You ask, we answer. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, final segment for us here on a Wednesday. Dukes and Bell coming up next, as always. Time for the AMA. Ask Me Anything. Brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org. You can ask questions to me and Randy, or Wendy and Brian. They'll answer in our ears. On the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line at 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929. And we'll start here. This is a good one for Randy, since I've never been to either one of these places. Best beach, South Beach or San Diego Beach?
Oh.
What beach do you go to in San Diego, by the way?
Where do we go? Because we didn't go to the beach a lot when we were in San Diego, because San Diego Beach ain't really that good.
Is La Jolla close to
La Jolla's fun.
I've been to La Jolla.
La Jolla's awesome.
I've never actually been all the way down to San Diego.
The beaches are right out there, but South Beach is fun. There's more stuff to do on South Beach. But, yeah, San Diego, the beaches aren't that good.
Where do you go in San Diego?
I can't remember where.
No, but I mean, if you're not going to the beach.
Oh, we lived in the gas lamp, so I just stayed there the whole time.
It's supposed to be, I mean, obviously you've told me a lot of good stories about it. I hear that's a great place to hang out.
Oh, it's cool. It's a lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun.
Okay. If you were a tree, would you produce nuts or fruit?
Probably fruit.
I think I would like to produce fruit too.
Yeah.
Because I got some nut trees in my yard.
And they're annoying.
They're annoying. Yeah. They're really annoying. We got a black walnut tree in the backyard, which is it's a nice looking tree.
Right.
But now these giant tennis ball looking things are all over our backyard.
Yeah.
And Boone the dog keeps trying to eat them. And I don't think that's a good idea for a dog to be eating a black walnut
thing. I don't either.
And the front yard is so full of pecans that
Why don't you collect them and sell them?
Well, I'm not going to sell them. I'm collecting them. I'm going to mash them all up, and I'm going to use them as ground cover in the garden, which is true, and now you know that. Stop looking at me like that.
I just never heard it before.
But, it's nice. It's actually expensive if you buy it at a gardening store or whatever.
I know. Mama got a whole bunch of pecan trees, and she always, every time she come up, y'all want some pecans? Mom, we got the same one from last year.
I want to make something out of them, though. Wouldn't that be cool to make a pecan pie out of your own tree?
Yeah, pecan pie would be good.
Pecan pie.
Yeah.
Pecan pie.
I say it both ways, too.
If I said it in back-to-back-to-back sentences, I would say it three different ways.
Yeah,
I say it differently every single time
too.
I say it.
Me too.
But I do need to. I haven't got one yet. I thought about it. I didn't buy it because it was too expensive. I asked for one for my birthday. I want to get a nut wizard. A nut wizard is how you pick up
We talked about this.
Yeah, I never bought one yet,
We talked about this, so I can't act surprised. We did talk about you getting a nut thing.
Wizard. A nut wizard.
Wizard.
Yeah, so if you're thinking of late birthday ideas for me, my birthday next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A nut wizard would be something that I would enjoy. But I'd rather be a fruit tree, though. Have you ever been deep sea fishing?
Yeah,
so have I.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
We went when we went to Destin in the spring. We had a good time. It was fun. It was a little boring. Like, you kind of just, you know, you bait up your hook, you drop it down, and then you slowly reel it back up.
You get drunk.
You get drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the drunk part was fun. I mean, you know, I enjoy that. But I like fly fishing.
Fly fishing,
you're doing something the whole time.
Fly fishing is boring.
Oh, fly fishing is not boring.
Yes, it is.
You're doing something the entire time.
But still.
Back, forward. Oh, Brian says, it is chill, too, though. Like, you're standing in a river in a very serene place enjoying nature.
Do you get to drink fly fishing?
You can drink if you're fly fishing. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, but it is a little bit more involved. That's fine. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to do stuff like that.
I bet.
Huh?
I bet.
Do you?
No.
Because you could do it if you wanted.
I know I could, but.
And you're never going to.
No, I'm good.
Is the Auburn-Texas A&M game getting overshadowed by UGA Notre Dame?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It is.
But Aaron Murray joined us earlier in the show. If you missed the interview, by the way, check it out on 929thegame.com. He said he thinks that's going to be a better game. I agree.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's going to crush Notre Dame. I think Auburn-Texas A&M will be a good game.
I do, too.
Who's going to win that game, though? That's the question.
I don't know. You have to tune in.
Oh, come on. Nope. On Saturday, it's Wednesday.
So?
All right. Have you been? All right. I think Texas A&M's going to win the game.
Okay.
That's my opinion. What's your favorite sandwich from Arby's?
I just like the classic roast beef, baby.
Me too. But I like to get the melted cheddar sauce on it.
Yes.
With the beef and cheddar.
Yeah, beef and cheddar.
So good. Who's the most talented backup quarterback in the NFL?
Most talented backup?
Yeah, who's the best backup? Teddy Bridgewater,
probably
right?
Teddy.
But he's not backing up now. He's going to be the starter for the next little bit.
Probably Teddy.
I'm interested to see, because Gardner Minshew has actually been pretty decent since he took over in Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
They were pretty close to beating the Texans last weekend.
Right.
They play on Thursday Night Football. Gardner Minshew is starting against Marcus Mariota on Thursday Night Football this week.
How great is that?
How
great is that?
It's a hell of a matchup. Pac-12 football, baby. Catch the fever. but I'm looking for it. He was offered an endorsement deal, Wendy was telling me.
Yes, with Camp Soda.
Oh, no, you were telling me.
Yeah,
this.
That's
right.
Yeah, he got offered a
which is what?
It's like
a porno thing?
No, yeah, well, kind of, sort of, with the ladies there on camera. And the camera models, they just take their clothes off when you tip them. I don't know a lot about it. I just heard about it.
Yeah, so they...
I mean, the first 30 seconds is free.
Okay, so, I mean, kind of maybe sounds like you know something about it.
No, I don't know anything about it, but usually when they have these kind of websites, like the first 30 minutes, first 30 seconds is free, where they tease you. And then right when they about to pull something down, the screen goes out.
That seems like a pretty good tease.
Yeah.
And then you have to give them credit card information, and then you get your identity stolen.
Hey, like the peep shows. When the quarter go out, you got to put a new quarter in there and crank the thing.
But it's better to do that than go to a peep show. Like a peep show, that's where Freddie Kitchens goes. That's, you know. Or at least he looks like he does. What's the best fast food sweet tea?
I don't drink sweet tea, so.
Me either.
Yeah.
Wow. I was a little nervous to admit that because that's one of those things around here. If you don't have a strong opinion on it, people get mad at you.
I don't care. I don't drink it.
I don't drink it either.
Yeah.
I don't really drink sweet tea. Now, Jarvis has told me that McDonald's has a pretty good sweet tea.
I mean, the McDonald's, I want to know this. Has anybody ever gotten a Sprite from McDonald's or anywhere else that tasted like Sprite ever in their life?
What does it taste like?
It tastes whatever the carbonated water slash Sprite. Has anybody ever gotten a Sprite from a fast food restaurant that actually tastes like a Sprite we drank?
What do you think that it tastes like? Does it taste bad?
Yeah, it's just bad. Every time. I mean, like, damn, can't y'all get Sprite right?
I don't think I've drank a Sprite since I was in high school.
Yeah.
I haven't drank Sprite in 15 years.
Yeah, like I had to have some the other day because the car didn't have any water and I was eating. And Isaiah had a Sprite, so I grabbed his. He's like, it's not good, Daddy. And, oh.
That is the worst when you get a soda and they didn't mix the thing right. Like, it tastes disgusting. Do you guys play video games?
No.
And what is your opinion about esports?
No, I don't play.
I don't play video games either. I used to when I was younger.
Yeah, I did.
Like, I play Madden and Tiger Woods and stuff like that. I don't really play video games anymore. I think esports are
cool.
Fine.
Yeah.
They're not my thing.
Nope, but they're cool.
I do think that they're doing you're giving college scholarships for video games.
Hey, man, teach his own, man.
You're
my
right.
My baby can get in school. Hey.
That's true.
Don't play that game, man.
This seems like you're doing a lot of encouraging of people not being physically active.
Yeah.
Kids need more exercise.
They do.
Go outside, run around, get in a fight, throw a rock at something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably good. Hey, Chuckery's got one here.
All right.
The zombies are about to break through the door and feast. You can only save 3 of 4. This must be for you.
Yeah.
Who gets left behind between me, Tanitra, Oren, and Takiyo Spikes?
Damn, Oren.
You can only save 3 of them.
I got to save Tanitra because she's a lady.
Okay.
You're my partner. I got to save you.
All right.
And Takiyo's... he's my brother and Samson's godfather.
So Oren's dead.
Yeah, damn, Oren.
Damn. Oren died again.
Damn. Hey, join Sports Radio 99 The Game in Athens at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. I got Johnny's spot. This Friday, it'll be me and Andy up there from 10 to 2. Then it'll be Dukes and Bell out there from 2 to 7. Then on Saturday, it'll be the morning show with John and Hugh from 9 to 12. And then college football game time with me and Chuckery from 12 to 3.
Can I read you one more?
Yeah.
Andy, would you consider naming your child Eugene?
Eugene Bunker. I like it. We can call him Gene.
Are you aware of where the University of Oregon is located?
Didn't even think about
Eugene,
that.
Oregon.
Hey, that's pretty good, though. I like it.
It's terrible. Terrible name. Terrible place. Terrible school. Terrible people. We'll come back and tell you what we learned today, takeaway of the day, and hand off to Dukes and Bell right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell coming up next from 2 to 7. We'll chat with the guys in a minute and find out what they have in store. Before we get out of here, takeaway of the day. Brian Gebhardt's takeaway of the day is that there are no babies named Fred.
I just don't think they are. I've never met a baby named Fred.
And our guy Fred, Magic Fred, said when he was a kid they called him Freddy.
Okay.
And then he got older and they started calling
him
Fred.
So at what age do you go from Freddy to Fred?
I don't know. 25?
Because Freddie Freeman just turned 30. He's still called Freddy.
Yeah, maybe it's time.
So
maybe he's Fred now.
Yeah.
Fred franchise. Wendy said her takeaway of the day is that there are going to be a few less baby bulls in Australia.
Yeah, it is, man. Yeah.
You guys hear about that?
About the bulls.
The artificial insemination bull factory in Australia caught on fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was bull batter everywhere.
Bull batter everywhere.
I learned that Dave Archer's wearing an Iowa shirt today up there at Flowery Branch because he lost a bet to Adrian Claiborne.
And I learned today that there are no baby crows or baby birds anywhere. Wendy's told me there's no, have I ever seen a
baby crow?
You ever seen
a baby crow?
I have never seen a baby crow. So they come out their mama full size?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's curious.
I think hawks eat a lot of the baby ones.
All right, that could be it.
That could be.
Predator birds.
Yeah. I've never seen a baby crow, never seen a baby pigeon. Some people think that pigeons and crows aren't actually birds. They're just a government conspiracy to spy on us, which maybe. I don't know.
Hey, that could be.
I've never seen a baby crow or a baby pigeon. Hey, Dukes and Bell are in here.
Carl's a bit laughing.
I'm watching Nat Geo and Discovery. You know, those are the ones that get eaten.
Yeah.
You know,
but what about the ones that don't?
Well, then they become the big ones.
I know, but why didn't we see them, though?
Because they hide really well.
Oh,
in the tree.
They had a question. Somebody asked us a question last week, Mike. They said, who's the smartest person in the station? We said, of course, Mike Conte.
But I didn't say Mike
Conte. Some people were defending. They said Mike Bell.
I said Mike Bell.
I was like, oh. No. Yeah, well, Mike.
He went to Penn State. I was at NYU for a semester.
Yeah, but no, Mike is very knowledgeable.
You've seen the way Mike lives? Like, Mike is the happiest person in the world. He goes on vacations, hangs out with his...
And the boss praises him for going on vacation.
Yeah, drives a convertible. Like, Mike's the happiest person in the world.
Yeah, praise him for going on vacation.
I'm living my best life, Carl. Yeah,
and the rest of you, if you could go on more fancy, expensive vacations like Mike Bell and tweet about it...
The station would be a lot better for
it. Then everyone would be doing better.
That was the funniest part of that meeting.
Like, what?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.